Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
Welcome back, my kindred, to Canada by Night, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. The coterie arrived at the town hall meeting, though in slightly different ways. Everett, Doris, and Val attempted to allay the concerns of the council members, but not before five frenzied vampires burst into the room, and a mysterious voice announced that the experiment had failed, the prophecy was through, and they would all eat each other. Will the feasting begin with Everett as Evangeline heads straight for his neck? Find out now as we return to the world of darkness.
Time slows around all of you as a wave of nightmares pour into the gymnasium of DeSanti Elementary. You feel it slow physically as you all take in the scene around you, because I wanted to take a second to explain exactly what's happening so you can all picture it, as you have that half a second to glance that feels like an infinite amount of time before hell really breaks loose. The vampires running in, there are five. Evie is at the front of them, manic eyes, her fangs are extended, her hands are claws, and she only has eyes for you, Everett. It is a nightmare scenario for you to see the person you're trying to rescue and realize they want to kill you with the same predatory intent you've only ever unleashed while chasing evil vampires. The other two of you, however, do recognize that these other vampires have been chosen very carefully, and they are all running at selected targets, which is unsettling within a hunger frenzy. On the left is Lorcan, Kevin LaFleur's daughter, who is in a hunger frenzy and is sprinting straight towards her father. Eric Francis, who is the representative of the Caitiff, the clanless vampires, is frenzying and sprinting straight at Kane Raziel. Both Kane and Kevin, you can already see, are shying from these conflicts because Kevin is having to fight his daughter, and Kane is actually the sponsor of the Caitiff joining. The other two clans that have joined afterwards, the Ventru and the Toreador, are both suffered more than welcomed into the city. However, the Caitiff don't have a home anywhere else, and the Bruja really welcome the Caitiff in. They live in a building right next door to Ripcord Mechanics. So it is very much a personal relationship that is being weaponized. Costas, the missing Nosferatu that was already mentioned in this meeting, is sprinting towards 1010, who is staring at him in absolute horror. And then there are the other two. Horatio Sundrop, the representative of the Malkavians, is frothing at the mouth, a shorter Danny DeVito type, and he is sprinting directly at Doris. He looks at the space, you would spot this, looked at the space where the Ventru was supposed to be, and then shifted immediately to the closest target, which is Doris. And behind these five are, for lack of a better term, the Crazy 88s from Kill Bill. Four men in tuxedos and ties. They are carrying katanas, and they have leather half masks over their eyes wrapped around their heads. And they sprint into the room, see where the vampires are going, and break immediately for Viron Faron, the only vampire who is not currently engaged. You see all of this happen. This is what is going down. Everett, you are grabbed by Evie, who is on you trying to eat you, and Doris is grabbed by Horatio Sundrop. Val, you are the only person who has a moment to act before this entire wave hits everything. What do you do?
She's going to grab and tackle Evangeline. She's going to just try to intercept that and grab, because in her split-second decision-making, it's like, not again. No.
Okay, so you are joining the brawl between Evangeline and Everett. Let's see if you can intercept her successfully. Evangeline, I'm going to give you specific instructions. You are in your hunger frenzy, which would generally mean that I would take over your character and you would try to eat whoever is closest. Mm-hmm. I believe you are capable of playing that yourself, so I will give you your turns as you, but playing hunger frenzied, no control, Evangeline.
That's fair.
However, you have been successfully given a compulsion over time, a delayed memory that filters within your hunger, which is you are determined to eat Everett at all costs. No matter what you do, you want to eat Everett. That is your goal as a player. So let's see how this tackle plays out.
Sounds good.
Would I be able to use my prowess before tackling, or is there no time to do that?
What is prowess?
Prowess is I do a rouse check and add my potence to my strength.
Yes, because you can do that simultaneously. I think that's okay. Reasonable for you to do right. At the beginning of this.
All right.
So Evangeline, I'm also going to say for the purpose of this combat, your strength is going to be boosted to 4.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because you are fueled by hunger.
Okay.
Can I do strength, brawl, grapple? Since I'm
tackling I think that's totally reasonable as a tackle to take her down and pin her in place. So you're rolling strength, brawl, grapple, and this will be a contested roll, which means you're both rolling to see what happens. So I need you, Evangeline, to roll a strength plus brawl.
Strength plus brawl.
Ooh. This is the maximum amount of dice for me. It is 12 dice.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
Well, that's good because I got 5 successes.
Okay, well, here's 2 tens, not on a hunger dice. And then I got, I'm gonna add them all up. Ooh, she is ready to fight. I got, 2 tens, so that adds to you, plus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8, 10, 10 successes.
For 10 successes, if you want to, I hate that I have to do this, but that's so many successes I can't not. I will let you stake Evie for free. So
yes, that's all I wanted. Yep. And as she
down,
does, she's just
stake
like,
her.
Fucking sorry, but...
Evangeline, you are paralyzed now. So you cannot move other than you can look around or you can move your fingers. However, you are still hunger frenzied. So all you can think about
is she's literally... Ever. I just imagine her like essentially just like eyes like trying to see Everett. Just like literally like almost like rolling into the back of her head trying to spot Everett. And her fingers are like just don't stop moving. They're just like grabbing at nothing.
That is what's happening there. Right next to you, Horatio is sprinting at Doris. Doris, how do you react? You have a half a second before Horatio would hit you to try to do something. You're not forced to just grapple, but what is your plan here?
Okay, so I have a question. My extinguished vitae for blood sorcery, where I can increase a person's hunger, what exactly is that good for, if that makes sense? Like, does that help me in combat?
In this circumstance, it could.
Okay.
If he is hunger frenzying, and you would believe that to be likely, unless there's some sort of drug, but you're not aware of that, if you can successfully take him down another point of hunger, he'll fall into torpor. So you could just knock him unconscious, essentially, if you can manage to do this before he hits you.
Yes, then she would like to do that.
Great. Let's go for that then. So you will be rolling...
Intelligence plus blood sorcery. 1, 2, 3. That is 4 successes.
You are successful. At the last second, as his hands are about to close around your throat, he slumps forward and goes prone and is paralyzed. Everett, you get a chance to look around as your deputies majestically and very fortunately dispatch 2 of these important figures with smooth, collected combat moves. As you look around, you see the other vampires have hurled themselves over the tables and are beginning to tackle and try to feed on the targets they were after. And you see Viron Faron take off his earring and start slipping off his rings and just go, "Oh, bitches, you do not want to fuck with the Toreador." And he just reaches down and produces 2 8-inch long daggers in either hand, and he's just right into the fucking Yakuza coming in from behind. So there is a sword-on-knife vampire battle going there. Everyone you're looking at, though, is currently losing their fight. One of the things that's worth noting in terms of New Haven, in terms of the game, the locals would be aware of this, Everett, you wouldn't be. They can't have really old vampires in New Haven, because really old, really powerful vampires in the sense of the higher generations can't live off of bagged blood. So everybody who's been accepted into New Haven can, which means they're all 12th or 13th generation.
Mm.
So they're not capable of doing the, like, I flip a car over with one arm kind of thing. And that's why these fights are a lot closer than they should be when they're having to pull their punches, because no one's willing to kill the person that they're wrestling with. So right. Everett, what do you do?
Is Evangeline still in uniform?
Yes, she is.
I'll pull up the stake from her holster, because I don't think I have one. And I'll just push it into Val's chest and say, "Do that again." And then...
I think you meant you just staked Val. And I was like, I thought that at first.
No, I pushed it into her chest.
Slowly, like, trust me. And then, like...
dull end first. I push it into her chest for her to take. Do that again and get everyone else out of here. And I'm going to look for the person in the gravest danger. Who's losing their fight?
Losing the fight the most would be Kevin LaFleur. The fact that it's Lorkin coming at him, he is scared. He is thrown off by the fact that it is both his daughter and he sired her. So this is just a disaster for him.
I want to summon up toughness, and I'm making a break for her, trying to get her away from him.
Great. Summoning toughness is a rouse check, correct?
Yeah.
Great. And I think did you roll your rouse check for your strengthening,
Del? Yeah, and I passed it.
Great.
I just failed mine.
And rouse check for the blood control, Claire. Because that does cost a rouse.
I failed.
All right, add another point of hunger for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. And I failed as well, so I've added
okay.
a point of hunger. That's what I'm doing. I'm running for...
This is Kevin. Kevin LaFleur.
Kevin and his daughter's Lorkin.
So Lorkin is on top of Kevin. They look very similar. She's also got blonde hair. It's in a longer cut. It's just below her shoulders, tied back in a ponytail, though it's been torn out as her fury has been. She's in a very similar uniform. They dress similarly. She's wearing the white lab coat, though it's torn, bloodied, and dirty. Okay. And she is just with claws out and two giant, almost wolf-like ears on either side of her head, reaching down and trying to bite into his throat.
I've forgotten this, but I feel like Everett knows this. What is the effect of silver bullets on vampires? Like, I fired one into a guy's head, and he was dead, dead, dead. If I'm shooting to... It's so fucking crass. If I'm shooting to disable someone, is that also like silver is lethal and they're dead? Or
silver won't necessarily kill them. Silver will do aggravated damage. So what it will mean is it will take them a long time to heal from. But if you don't shoot them in the heart or the head, I will allow you in this case. Odds are you can shoot them to disable them without killing them.
Okay.
You could still fuck it up, but odds are you can do this.
Yeah. I think to start, that's going to maybe be like an emergency response kind of thing. If things go worse than they already are. if she's facing him, I want to basically kind of like wrap my arms around, like, what is it, like doing like a full Nelson, like a half Nelson, where like you
yeah, full Nelson.
Tuck their shoulders in the crook of your arm. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Basically just like wrenching her head away by grabbing the ear and then trying to kind of lock her down.
Great. Let's do strength and brawl. And if you've got your bonuses to strength, add those.
Three successes.
Three successes. You manage to pull her back and away. She is still fighting, though. And interestingly enough, her attention doesn't turn to you as you would expect from a hunger frenzied target, which is just whoever's closest try to bite them. She is still entirely focused on trying to yank away towards her father. And you can tell your strength has limits and she's going to be pushing for them. She has not surrendered.
Through gritted teeth, I yell, "Get out!" to Kevin, whether he listens or not.
Kevin gets up and looks towards the door. However, the Yakuza are being fought there. He comes over and he starts helping you wrestle with Lorkin. He's like, "I'm not going anywhere. She's my daughter.
Bite her. Drain her.
Oh, this is fucked up." And he'll do it and drains her. Oh, God. Can he do this? Let's find out. This would be composure. And I'm going to call it awareness.
I'm too scared of what I experienced. Like, yeah. Everett doesn't want to go to that dark place again. So he's somebody else drain this person.
Okay. He does achieve with his roll. I had him roll a composure and an awareness. He achieves enough successes that you see him drain her to the point where she falls into torpor, but she does not die. So he successfully found that fine line between unconscious and dead.
Good. I release and I'm looking for the next kind of critical fight going on.
As these fights continue, Everett, you take in the room. You see that, wow, good for him. Viron Faron has killed three of the four Yakuza, but the fourth that is remaining is clearly the most masterful of the rest. It has shifted into a stalemate and Viron is being pushed back. The other wrestling matches are still continuing. Costas and Ten-Ten are close and intertwined. And Eric has successfully bitten Kane Raziel and is beginning to drain Kane on the floor in a flurry of sprays of blood. It's really messy. This is not traditional vampire I'm put together feeding. This is the bad kind.
And of course he had to give the gym white walls.
Yes. Everett, you hear the gymnasium doors bang open again. And looking at them, you see two figures stalking inside, both wearing black dresses, both wearing rubberized gloves up to their elbows. These are the two figures that you had seen Evangeline participating in the rituals back at the house. Mm. One has the shock of green hair, appears very modern goth style, but clearly vampirized far beyond the degree. Like alabaster does not breathe, no essence of humanity to them. The other one is completely unadorned. There's no style whatsoever. Clearly wearing an assigned outfit, but doesn't even appear to wash their hair. Almost a Wild Witch of the Woods style vibe about them. They take in the battlefield, and you see them begin to whisper and mutter to themselves, twitching their fingers at their sides. Val, you were the closest to the door, so they would be going at you because you're put together and have a weapon. Can you roll me a stamina plus composure?
Stamina plus composure. I sure
do. Ooh, I know what they're doing.
I got two successes.
So what happens as this is, you turn along with Everett to see what's happening at the door, and you feel their magic slam into the blood inside you. You can feel every vein as your heart pumps, and you feel the life being drained out of it. You've never felt the blood dying inside you before. You've just felt yourself using it. And instead, it's being wrenched away from you. Mm-hmm. And you gain 2 points of hunger.
Okay.
And you can see they are still going. Mm-hmm. Everett, you see Val stagger where she stands. She's not going down yet, but I think you're clever enough to realize that the two new threats are the thing threatening her.
Yep.
Doris, you've successfully done exactly what they're doing. You're guessing it. I'll say you don't need to roll anything for that. You're a smart character. And we shift into the second round of this combat. Evangeline, what's going through your head as you are like full of blood and fury, but you're also in torpor and can't really move and you're paralyzed?
I mean, is anything going through my head other than like just the compulsion to kill Everett? Do it like...
I think with the paralysis and the other things going on, you have a rare chance to resist a compulsion because you can't act on it. I think you might be able to try to fight at least the compulsion to just kill Everett.
I mean, honestly, I think for her, like inside, she probably has like a tear leaking out of her eye and she just wants to go home.
Oh,
I would believe that you're crying blood as this is happening. That feels right to me. Roll me an intelligence plus resolve.
Yeah.
I know those are two mental, but it just feels like those are the ones there.
Two successes.
You are feeling exactly what you are feeling. If you had succeeded by less, you're still going to be... I think the battle for you now is holding on to your sanity through this. Because this is just a war for like how much can you take before you'll have to deal with PTSD or other challenges from being stuck in this state after the ordeal that you've been going through. Val, you just got whammied, but you are still up. What do you do?
Now she's hungry, so now she's more mad. She's just going to throw herself at one of the, probably the, I guess, the green-haired one.
Great.
That's casting, and just throw her entire body at them and start tackling and punching.
Let's do strength plus brawl then.
All right.
Are you attempting to stake them, or are you attempting to just murder them? Like, what's the goal here?
Murder. We don't, like, obviously this isn't a person that I know, so.
No, this is not a person that you know.
No.
This is so an evil person. You don't like.
This is murder time, for sure. Would this be considered grappling or no? Or just murder?
Describe how you are taking them down.
I think it would be like a tackle to the ground, kneel on, punch to the face over and over until that stops being there.
Yeah, I would agree that that falls into that like UFC wrestle. I'll tell you my trick. If you sell it like it's wrestling moves, I'm going to give it to you for grapple.
That's what I want. All right. So here's my three hunger and all of these dice that I need probably a cup for, but I'm going to try.
Please.
I'm going to take out the failure ones. 7 successes.
Seven
and
successes.
Also, my body is a lethal body, which ignores levels of armor per potence level. If they have armor, it ignores 3 of that.
You have 3 potence in it? Holy shit.
That is, is clever. So they... Oh man, being powerful witches does not make you really good at the punching.
Okay,
so you will be coming in and you will just... punch the ever living shit out of this person. Like, you tackle them into the wall as opposed to the ground. They crunch into it, and then you're on top laying into them as they uncomfortably and uncoordinatedly try to defend themselves. Clearly, they are not geared or trained for this kind of close quarters combat. So they are down and taking a fucking beating. You can see, rather than bruises forming because they don't have that, you can see the black blood of ancient vampires leaking in almost hematoma-like under their skin as you hit them. And you can feel the bones in their face. I would say probably shoulders and chest. You can feel each break that's happening. They're trying to heal it as it happens, but they are losing the fucking race as you are punching them into oblivion. Doris.
Yes.
What are you up to?
What is Doris up to? She's finding all of this very interesting. And I think in the back of her mind, she's like, oh, this all has to do with the super powerful vampire. I don't know how, but it does. I think she would be like, I'm torn between wanting to take down the other witch and help Kane.
Yeah, Kane is being eaten. Costas and Ten-Ten are wrestling. Viron is fighting their last remaining Yakuza figure. And yes, there is the one remaining witch standing by the door.
Yeah, I think I would go for the witch, because if the witch keeps doing what they're doing to Del, that could end very poorly for all of us if Del is compelled to turn against us. So yeah, I think she's going to... They're not in a frenzy, right? The two witches who just walked in?
No, they are standing stoically, fully controlled. You would know that they couldn't do blood magic if they were frenzied. It requires spoken words, muttered incantations, and physical gestures. There's no fucking way.
Then I would like to compel him, this guy, to stop.
Oh, fuck. That is fun. Okay. You lock eyes. You have to be within speaking distance. So clearly that is happening. What do you say, and how do you try to gain this control? Then let's roll for it.
If you're new in town, you must respect the rule of the law. And she's going to, like, wiggle her fingers at him. It's charisma plus dominate. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I get a plus one dice to subtle, to social. So I'm rolling 6.
I'm so scared for all my deputies.
All right. What do we got here?
Remember your hunger dice, because you hungry.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hello, Gov. It's your boy Ridley, and I'm here to talk to you about maybe a way you should be contributing to this little organisation. Everyone knows, as you look around, there's a lot of bear boys. And, you know, to be a bear boy, you got to be a bear, and you got to be, well, not exactly a boy, but you got... The important thing is, you got to pay your fucking dues, is what you got to do. And right now, I just know from looking at the numbers, there are a lot more fucking people out there than there are inside my fucking gang. And what I'm saying is, if you want to join up and get access to me and all the cool fucking toys and other fucking treats I've got for all you little bear boys and girls and theys and thems and fucking alls out there, go to patreon.com/dumdumdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. You do that, you're on the inside. Come talk to me on a Patreon-exclusive Discord. Why don't you throw some names into the show? Why don't you build an NPC to join my fucking gang? I'm just saying, if you sign up, you won't regret it. And if you don't sign up, maybe you fucking will.
One, two, three, four. That is 5 successes.
The two of you are now engaged in a mind-for-mind battle, because as you tried to compel her, she turned around and did the same thing to you. So you are standing, both of you lock-eyed across the room, and you can feel the power of control shifting back invisibly between you. I think it's visible for you, Doris, but not for anyone else. It is just black energy hitting. What color do you think the aura of your magic is for you?
Pink.
It's just a black wave hitting a pink wave, spreading apart like water hitting each other. And it is being forced between the two of you, one way or the other. Everett, for you looking, you can't see the magic, but all of a sudden, both Doris and this other witch who are remaining standing are being buffeted by winds that are hitting no one else. There is no other factor in the room, but all of their clothing is being blown back from them as they stare directly at each other. You also can see...
And Cedric Eric, Diggory emerges.
Yeah, Eric eating Kane and Costas and Ten-Ten are dueling.
God damn. It looks like the deputies can handle it for now, but that is some, like, seriously dangerous shit. But one of the houses, would we call them? Clans, I guess?
Clans. Yeah, it's clans in this. So they're just one the clan representatives. One of the
clan leaders here, is getting eviscerated. That's my next move, is to run over there and deal with that.
Awesome. So you are going after Eric, who is crouched over Kane. We've established Kane is the ultimate tough lady. Eric is the completely forgettable guy on the street. If you're thinking Deadpool 2, there was that guy who joined X-Force just because he was kind of a guy.
Right.
That's Eric. Eric is flawlessly average in every way, except now Eric is tearing his way into Kane's stomach through the exterior wall.
Nice.
Just biting and clawing blood into his mouth. What do you do?
God, again, it needs to be so quick and brutal, but at the same time, I'm trying to save lives. I think I'm going to, in a similar fashion, I'm going to grab this guy and try and pull him off of Kane, who obviously cannot be as helpful as Kevin was, because Kane's been pretty grievously injured here. But pull him off, and I guess I have to try and drain him. I guess I have to bite into his neck kind of from behind and pull him away.
This is going to be a two-step roll. So let's roll a, this will be a strength.
I'm going to fucking kill this kid. Oh,
a strength,
man.
And a brawl, which would be a given, for which is your ability to bite. However, because this is, do you know what? I'm going to balance this. Normally, because you're trying to bite someone, it would be considered a targeted attack, which means you take one die off the roll. However, he is hunger frenzied and eating someone. It's not like he's trying to defend against this attack. So it'll just be a straight roll for you. So just normal strength and brawl.
Two successes.
You do it. You got the bite. His role wasn't great to begin with. Again, not the ultimate badass. Just a starving man eating someone's intestines. How much hunger do you have right now?
I have two.
Okay. You bite in and start draining. Let's roll a composure.
Composure's good.
Composure and awareness. I think it's just your ability to stay together while feeding. As we've established, it is a fine line between knocking someone out by draining someone who's in a hunger frenzy to draining them to the point of death.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous.
Come on, dice. Be my friend.
Three successes.
You do manage it.
Okay.
You manage just to do it. So he falls unconscious and collapses on top of Kane, who is below. Kevin, who is still conscious and functional, he's shoved Lorcan under the table, dashes over, and he starts offering his wrist and feeding Kane.
Kane? For Kane to recover, kind of?
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm not going to blood bond you. This is just so you can get better. One off, don't worry. And Kane will accept and drink from Kevin, freeing you up to keep going, Everett.
Yeah, I just say, like, when she can walk, you two get out of here. And I'm looking again back at this witch situation, because that is freaking Everett the fuck out.
Yeah, so what you see around the room now is Costas has gained the upper hand on 10-10 Quarantino.
God.
Her in a headlock and is currently biting her scalp just through the top of her head to try to drain her. He hasn't broken through into her brain yet, but he seems to be very determinedly just biting over and over again. Viron, Farron, and the Yakuza are still duking it out. Only Viron is very cut up now. Mortal fight? Fucked. Dead. No question. Vampire fight? It's just starting to get iffy now. The playing field is closer to level between the two of them. Viron has, at this point, ditched the daggers and has taken up a katana and is throwing down in a much more appropriate style. And you look over to the door to see Val still punching the ever-loving shit out of the vampire that she is on top of, and the witch fight continuing, in time to see a hulking Bruja storm through, tattooed and covered in black, and grab Val behind, hauling her up by the throat.
This episode of Canada by Night features the voices of Tyler Hewitt, Claire Blackwood, Del Borovic, and Laura Hamstra, alongside storyteller Ryan LaPlante. This episode was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and Canada by Night's artwork was created by Del Borovic at delborovic.com. That's DelBorovic.com. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel, and our ad breaks use the tracks No Control and Cheeps by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available at freemusicarchive.org. Canada by Night is a spin-off of the Dum Dums and Dice series, Blood and Syrup. If you want to hear about what happened to Everett before he came to New Haven, look for Blood and Syrup anywhere podcasts can be found.
For all things Dumdums and Dice, including merchandise and how to join our Patreon, you can visit dumdumdice.com or find us on social media at dumdumdice. That's D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. Sleep well, my kindred. Sleep well in this world of darkness.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, the Half-Blind Prophet, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, Austin Nut Powers Fry, Stabby Stranger, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.